This is SB Nation Radio.
Great moments are born in great opportunity.
The next generation of sports radio. This is the Tony D Show.
Guys, I'm bringing the party to you.
Live from the Quicken Loans Studios in New Jersey.
Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today.
Here's Tony Desiri.
And glad you can be with us here on SB Nation Radio. I am Tony D, taking you up for the next 2 hours. And we are pretty loaded today. And a lot of different topics, too, which I think is going to be really interesting. We've got Chris Baker, defensive end for the Washington Redskins, coming up in 15 minutes. The Redskins are not only on a short week, they're on a really short week because they played Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers. Now, albeit they were at home, and now they're going to go to Dallas to take on the Redskins, the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. And we talked about this yesterday with Dave Preston from WTOP. The Redskins started out 0-2. They're now 6-1-1 over their last eight. There's a lot of feel-good feelings about Washington, the way they're playing. Kirk Cousins is playing exceptional. He should get his deal. Defensively, we'll get an insight onto what Washington is doing. Again, Chris Baker is going to join us in 15 minutes. We'll talk to him about playing Dallas in week two, the stuff they learned, what do they see differently from the Cowboys as they go into Thanksgiving matchup. Speaking of Thanksgiving, I was really excited about three games that we were going to get. But now that Andrew Luck is not going to play against the Steelers, that kind of diminishes the Thursday night game between Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. But Minnesota and Detroit to lead things off, and I tried to rack my brain to remember when a Lions game it was significant on Thanksgiving. I mean, my memory is short, albeit, but I don't really remember sitting in front of the TV watching the Lions going, this is a must win for the Lions. But both of those teams are leading in the division, and the Cowboys over the years have been in really good games on Thanksgiving, and this is going to be one of them against Washington. But this is also a really important week in sports. It's one of the better weekends of the year. We got a lot of things going on in the calendar year of 12 months. We've got March Madness, and if you like golf, Masters Week is always cool, and then there's the NFL Draft. But this weekend is really, really special for a lot of people across the country, and I don't care where you went to school, but for many of us who went to college, this is a rivalry week. Our schools are usually involved in rivalries at this point in time. When I was a young kid growing up, I loved college football, which was a little odd because I grew up in an area that didn't place a lot of emphasis on college football. I didn't grow up in the South or Texas or Michigan or any place where it was kind of embedded into your soul as a kid growing up. I grew up in New Hampshire. Not only did I grow up in New Hampshire, I kind of grew up in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, in a little ski town. And we didn't follow college football like other kids around the country followed college football. You know, Dad didn't take us to games. The nearest game that you could go to where I lived was Dartmouth College. If you wanted to go see UNH, I was a little bit of a haul. Boston College, when I was growing up, was good only because of Doug Flutie. We didn't have just a feeling that college football was important. We were mostly in my area, we were a pro-oriented sports society. We followed all the Boston teams. Even though I was born in Brooklyn, I kind of leaned toward the Yankees when I was a kid. But college football was really hard for me to generate conversations with my friends because nobody really followed it. You know, some of my friends watched it, but you couldn't have really in-depth conversations. And of course, I grew up loving it because I loved the pageantry. And I think I was really attracted to it felt like a different game. As a kid growing up, watching, you know, Keith Jackson on ABC from Pasadena, I loved the pageantry of college football. And I knew, and I think many of us who grew up watching both, I don't think it's hard to tell the difference between a college football game and an NFL football game. I mean, I knew early on that there was a significant difference here. And I think many of you saw the same kind of thing. So when I grew up, I wanted to go to a school. I make no bones about this. I tell people this all the time. I chose my college based on football. I knew I could get a good journalism degree anywhere. And I could have gone to Syracuse and got a broadcasting degree. I really wanted to go in the South. I really wanted to experience Southern football. So the schools I applied to were like Florida State, South Carolina. I did apply to the University of Iowa. They were pretty good back in the day. And that's basically where I wanted to go. And I remember my freshman year, as soon as I got to South Carolina, I knew that the Clemson game was gigantic. I mean, everybody talked about the Clemson game. And it was in August, and we had just started. Oh, you're going to have to get your requests in for tickets early. There's a lottery. It's, you know, you're just overwhelmed as a kid. And this weekend, you're getting not only that, you get Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Auburn, the Apple Cup, the Egg Bowl, all of these rivalries that are important on a local level, but there are some games that really carry some weight. A long way to get to where I'm going with this, because the College Football Playoff Committee rankings came out Tuesday. And once again, the committee loves Ohio State. Now, they may love Ohio State because there's nobody else really to love right now better than the Buckeyes. But they love Ohio State. Ohio State is number two. They love Michigan. Michigan is at number three. These two teams are going to square off. One of these teams is leaving Saturday with a loss and will not be invited to the reindeer game fun of the college football playoffs. One of these two exceptional teams, Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, one of them is going to be on the outside looking in coming up on Saturday. Now, if these two teams didn't play very much, didn't really care about each other, maybe out of different divisions, you could, you know, you would say, well, this game is significantly important because, you know, this is the winner goes to the playoff. You throw in the mix that this might be the greatest rivalry in college sports into the mix, and you've got a powder keg. That's one of the reasons I love college football. 10 years ago, Ohio State and Michigan played as the number one and number two team in the nation. Troy Smith was the quarterback of the Buckeyes, and they won that game. But Michigan barely lost. Barely lost. Now, there was all this conversation 10 years ago about, hey, you know what? It's possible that Michigan and Ohio State should meet again for the BCS National Championship. It was that good of a game. It didn't go down that way. Because Florida caught some fire and once and won, you know, they had lost to Auburn in the middle of the season, caught some fire, and Urban Meyer did a great job. I always credited Urban Meyer for this because he did the one thing Lloyd Carr didn't do. Urban Meyer sold his program to the nation. You know, Florida was, you know, I think they beat Arkansas in the SEC title game, if I'm not mistaken, that year. Nevertheless, they went on and won the SEC title, and Urban Meyer sold it. He sold it really well, and Florida played Ohio State for the national title and beat the Buckeyes and won the national championship, and then that whole SEC dominating conversation was really picking up steam. But never forget that 10 years ago, these two teams, these two programs, played a really, really entertaining, fun, good, well-played game where the Buckeyes just came out on top. Michigan left there wondering what their fate was going to be. People were uncomfortable about a rematch for the national title, something they would ignore, by the way, 5 years later when Alabama and LSU did the exact same thing. I wonder if we get that feeling out of this on Saturday. Look, one of these teams is going to have two losses, and one of these teams is probably going home. But I say probably because we don't know what will happen. Will Washington lose in the Apple Cup? Will Clemson lose to South Carolina or the ACC title game down the road? If you really like what Ohio State and Michigan put together, could you make the case? I don't think so. I think there's too many people knocking on the door, especially with those two losses right now. But as I looked at the committee rankings, I keep asking myself, hey, committee, you know Ohio State. This is what I brought up with Spencer Hall yesterday. You know the Buckeyes. You know that their path to win their conference championship is really dependent on outside influences and not of their own, and yet you love them anyway. You know what they're bringing to the table. They're not going to surprise you, right? If they beat Michigan, they still may not play for the conference title, and yet you still love them as the number two team in the country. Let's say they really beat Michigan, and they beat Michigan well. Let's say it's a comfortable victory, not a blowout. I don't think you're going to get a blowout here, so let's throw that out of the equation. But let's say it's 27-10, a really good game, some mistakes by Michigan. You still love them? Do you still love them if they don't play and win the conference title? And how much do you love them if you do love them? How much will you love them over Washington that may win the Pac-12? How much would you love them over Oklahoma? that could win the regular season title that is also the conference title in the Big 12 if they beat Oklahoma State on December 3rd. How much would you love them? That one loss without a conference title over some teams that might have two losses with that conference title. I think this still asks questions. And I think that's one of the things that I was taking away on Tuesday. Coming up, Chris Baker, Washington Redskins defensive end. Are they noticing something different about Dallas from their Week 2 matchup? We'll ask him about that coming up next. We'll also have our Heisman 5 coming this hour. I'm Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
All right, Thanksgiving Day, we've got the Washington Redskins in Dallas to face the Cowboys, and this is the first team that gets to play Dallas a second time with quarterback Dak Prescott. Defensive end Chris Baker of the Redskins joins us. He's brought to you by Hail Emoji, official Redskin team app. You can go there and download animated emojis, snapshot of static Hail Emojis, presentation with all of the above. It's great stuff if you're a Redskins fan. Chris Baker joins us on SB Nation Radio. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. As you prepare for the Dallas Cowboys the second time around, tell me the difference that you're seeing from the team that you played in week number two to what you will expect on Thursday night.
It's pretty much the same team. You know, they're a very confident group. Each week they're just finding different ways to win, whether it's running the ball up and down the quarter, up and down the field, or just using Dak's arm to, you know, get the ball downfield. But either way, they're just finding ways to win, and they're really a confident team right now, so you know, we have our work cut out for us.
How do you guys feel right now? 6-1-1 over your last eight games. Your quarterback's all excited. The mood of the Redskins right now.
Oh, yeah, we feel great. You know, we're a very confident team. All we have to do is go out and play the way we know how, and I really don't see a lot of teams being able to beat us if we, you know, play the way we're supposed to play. As long as we're clicking on all facets of the game, the offense, defense, special teams, will be a very hard team to beat. We just have to go out there and stay focused throughout 60 minutes and find ways to win games.
Yeah, Chris, is it tough to prepare for a quarterback? But go back to week number two. Is it tough to prepare for a quarterback that is a rookie and then is unknown? Or do you guys kind of have a method of doing that?
It's a little bit tough when you play a rookie quarterback for the first time because you really don't know his strengths or weaknesses. But you put together a good game plan based off of what you've seen in the preseason or based off of what the coaches have seen him do in college and figure out how to keep him contained and go from there.
How good is their offensive line?
They're very good. You know, they have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, so it'll be a good task for us up front to get after them and be more physical than them and stop the run. And that's just the challenge of playing the game.
I know you got to catch a plane, so I want to ask this question about a Thursday night game. It's Thanksgiving, and all eyes will be on you guys throughout the holiday week. But the short week, how tough is it for you guys to turn around from a Sunday night to play just a few days later?
It's very tough, you know, especially on the guys that you got a little dinged up in the game. You know, it's kind of hard to recover in 2 or 3 days and be ready to play again. But, you know, the coaches did a good job at handling practice this week and having walk-through practices instead of being a physical practice. And, you know, there's been a lot more mental reps and a lot more film preparation. And guys just have to do a good job at taking care of their bodies, whether it's in the cold tub, the hot tub, or getting a massage or doing extra stretching. So, you know, we just had to do a little bit more extra this week to make sure our bodies are prepared to go on Thursday. And when Thursday comes, we'll be ready to rock and roll.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the team. You guys going to have a good spread after the game? I'm hoping you guys will.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the best holiday of the year, especially for big guys. You know, I love this holiday so I can go, you know, eat as much as I want. There's no weigh-ins this week, so it's always a great time.
No weigh-ins. That's awesome. Chris Baker, defensive end of the Washington Redskins. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a safe flight and good game on Thursday.
All right. Thanks.
You got it. Chris Baker joins us of the Washington Redskins talking about the Cowboys especially. And look, they played him in week number two. And at that moment, if you go back to the beginning of the season, Washington was playing a Dallas team that had lost their game to the Giants. You know, not a ton of film. You could probably dissect some preseason stuff, find, you know, in the one game. But now there's a lot more. Now we're seeing Dak Prescott do a little bit more offensively, having more confidence, that offensive line gelling a lot, and the running game is really established, a lot to dissect. And again, because only the Giants and the Eagles and the Redskins can do this to Dallas this year, the Redskins are the first one that will get to play Dak Prescott and the Cowboys a second time. So to go through the first game and then now to play them again on Thanksgiving. And this is really great because, again, I like matchups on Thanksgiving. I would watch no matter who was playing. I kind of have it on. It's part of that Thanksgiving tradition. But when you establish some value to these games, when they matter, when they mean stuff, now I'm really in. I'm curious about this Redskins team. I really am. We talked about the Giants at 7-3 and not really knowing what to expect. I was talking about this with my father, who's in for Thanksgiving, and he's a Giants fan, and he's as perplexed with that team as Armani Toomer was last week when he was on our show. Right, yeah, they don't run the ball very well. Defensively, they're all right. Eli makes mistakes, and yet they're finding a way to win games. Well, the Redskins started out 0-2, and now 6-1-1 over their last eight games. They've got a quarterback that's making himself a lot of money, and they are going up against a Cowboys team that I think they're pretty confident against. All right, 800-777-2907. Joe George, you ready for the Thanksgiving weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for it.
I just found out I'll be guess what I'm doing? Guess what I'm doing tomorrow?
Well, that's fun.
Guess what I'm doing?
Are you going to watch any of the games with the fam?
I am going to watch games, but you know what I have to do tomorrow?
What do you have to do tomorrow?
I have to wake up bright and early.
Why?
I have to go to the city and watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
You know what's funny? Speaking of that, I have a friend in college who is helping plan the parade this year.
Really?
Yeah, she got an internship doing it last year, and then they hired her. So she's helping put it together. But that's got to be somewhat exciting, though, right?
It is kind of. But here's what happened. So all my cousins live in this area, and my wife and I, when we just moved here, we went to them about advice about living near New York City and all that other stuff. And my cousin's wife said, "You got to go to the parade." And my wife just went ballistic. She's like, "Of course I got to go to the parade. I love the parade. I watch it every single year. Absolutely." Well, we never heard from them. And then I asked her if she was going to go, and she was like, "I don't know." And then sure enough, today the phone call came. "Hey, I know it's last minute, but we're going to the parade. We'd love to meet up with you guys." And my wife just went, and she didn't even ask me. She just said, "Oh, we are absolutely going."
That sucks.
She called me up and told me. I'm like, "Oh,
it's just like, this is the plan." How early are you guys leaving for the parade? Because I'm assuming you have to get there probably pretty early to actually to be able to see it.
Well,
Do you guys have a game plan? Are you doing the beginning?
5 a.m. I got to think at least five, take an hour and a half or so to get to the area. And then you got to find a place to settle in, and then the parade starts at 9, and then off you go.
Do you guys have a game plan? Are you doing the beginning of the parade, the middle of the parade, the end of the parade?
I don't know where we're going. That's the big mystery for this thing. I like sitting at home watching it in my pajamas.
You can just wear your pajamas to the Macy's Day Parade. Who cares?
I should, right?
Yeah, why not?
You know, Matt.
Your wife didn't ask you if you were going. She told you, so you can just say, "I'm
There's no asking.
I'm wearing pajamas.
No chance. That's right. No chance." My cousin then texts me. All he said was, "The wives owe us." I go, "Yes, they do. Yes, they do."
That means Yankees tickets.
This definitely means something down the road. I wonder if I can put this in the bank and just break it out whenever I need something. Like, oh, the golf weekend in at Pinehurst.
Yep. Absolutely.
Don't forget, I went to that parade, woke up at 5 a.m., stood outside in the freezing cold, watched the cast of Rent do a dance, along with the cast of Bronx Tale the Musical.
I think that's the right
call.
Then
saw the Snoopy
float. Yeah, put it in the piggy bank, wait for the right day, and then crack it open.
My mother told me this morning, she said, "I remember I was going to take you when you were a baby, but you got sick." And I said, "Yeah, I knew it was coming."
It was going to be cold. It wasn't going to be fun.
I was like, "I'm a little baby going, yeah, I got the flu. I ain't going to that thing. Are you kidding me? I'm going to stand outside for a couple hours, then fight traffic, fight all that crowd, watch the Thanksgiving Day parade." When I was young, when I was in Colorado, it was so bad because the early game, the parade was on tape delay, and it would bump right up against the opening game of the football. And so, man, we used to flip coins. We'd have double TVs going. My wife was like, "We're not watching football when the parade's on." We did that for 10 years when we lived in Colorado. That Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. Coming up, our Heisman Five. Who do we like? Who do we not like? Who's on our ballot? Who's off our ballot? As we get closer to the ceremony in New York. That's coming up next. I'm Tony D, SB Nation Ready. Hey!
Without further ado, the winner of this year's Heisman Trophy.
Francois hands the ball off Dalvin Cook, right side to the 5. 3, 2, 1, easy Pickens, touchdown FSU.
He gives it to Davion. Breaks it over left guard. He's got some room. He's at the 20, breaking into the open to the 15, the 10, the 5. Can he get to the corner? Touchdown, Michigan.
It's time for Tony and Joe's top 5 Heisman contenders on the Tony D Show.
All right, we've been doing this all year long since week number one, picking our Heisman favorites as we get closer to the ceremony, which is only just a couple of weeks away now. By the way, do you watch the two-hour-long pre-ceremony show that they do now?
No, I'll probably just watch Twitter and see who won.
I think I'm with you. I don't like. Look, I get it. They're all got good moms and dads that have helped them in their careers, and some have overcome some adversity. But I don't need a half an hour vignette on every single candidate.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I don't need that. I remember John Feinstein once. You remember Keenan Reynolds of Navy? I think this was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, he thought that Keenan Reynolds should, because he had won the fan vote, he should be in New York City. And I kind of thought that would be cool.
That was last year. They wanted
Was it last year?
They wanted him to take the helicopter from the Army-Navy game the ceremony.
Look how old I'm getting. That was 12 months ago, and I thought it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, like he's a rookie on the Ravens. Come on, Tony.
Yeah, I know. I should have known this. So anyway, John Feinstein thought Keenan Reynolds should get in because he had won the fan vote. Like, but I thought if you overhyped his arrival, that's something he would not want to do, right? Like, isn't part of want like this big military extravaganza, because that's not he would probably not want to showcase himself like that, and it would be unfair for him to showcase. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely.
Like,
I think
you know what I mean. Like,
he's a humble guy.
If they came to him and said, you know, it's great, you were Navy, and we want to militarize this thing up and give you all the proper respect, and we're going to have a helicopter and kind of like a red carpet and shine the bright lights on you, and you're in full military dress as you walk in and take your seat, I think he would have been embarrassed by that.
Get fourth place?
Yeah, and then get fourth place. I worked in Colorado Springs. I worked with the Air Force Academy. I did a lot of games for the Air Force Academy, did football, basketball, hockey, and whatnot. They're the most humble guys on the face of the earth. They don't want any attention.
Yeah.
Like, they're not looking for any of that kind of thing. So I was like, I was glad in a way they didn't do it, and I was kind of, I thought he should have got some credit for winning the fan vote instead of the, you know, vote of us media types. But yeah, that ceremony is becoming more and more of a show, and it's really just open the envelope and tell us who won. All right, let's start with this one. In my top five, okay, I'll be honest with you. My fifth pick here, I think I've been saying this over the last couple of weeks. He's not eye-popping, but his team certainly is. Jalen Hurts, quarterback at Alabama. He's not the best quarterback in the country. My God, he's probably not even in the top five best quarterbacks in the country. But he is the quarterback of the number one team in the country. And that takes a lot, especially as a freshman, to be doing that. That's why he's getting some love for me at number five. I'm sure there are better, but right now I got to honor the quarterback of the number one team.
And I got Dalvin Cook back in my top five right now. 225 yards, 4 touchdowns this last week. He's putting up a great season, so I think he definitely deserves to be considered at least. So I got him at number five.
Yeah, I was considering him too. I think he had a very, very good game. My number four person is Deshaun Watson at Clemson. He had 3 touchdowns against Wake. Wake's pretty good defense. 2 rushing, 249 yards total. And this is interesting about Deshaun Watson. He came in with tremendous amounts of hype, obviously. A lot of people knew what he did last year, and there is an expectation of what he was supposed to do this year. Sometimes you don't meet up to those expectations, and they hurt you. Now, Christian McCaffrey, for example, could have really good numbers, but they're not the same eye-popping numbers, and therefore you don't get the kind of vote. Tebow actually suffered from this in multiple Heisman campaigns. Just didn't feel as good as it was back in 2007. But Deshaun Watson leads the ACC in passing yards, and he's also tied with Lamar Jackson with 28 touchdown passes on the year that also leads the ACC. So Deshaun Watson, by take away all the expectations, is still having a remarkable year.
Number four, I still have Jabril Peppers. He did not have a good week this week, really. He didn't have any eye-popping stats, but I still think he's the best player in the country, so I still got him at number four. And I think if he does something special versus Ohio State and Lamar Jackson blows it, I think he still has a real legitimate shot to win this thing.
let's the biggest game of the college football weekend is that one. If he is showcased on in multiple levels, if he has those kind of games where you say, wow, Jabril Peppers is doing a lot of great things, his candidacy is going to go through the roof. This is going to be the most anticipated game on the Saturday. I mean, sorry, Iron Bowl, and for those of you who have personal rivalry games, this is the most important college football game of the weekend.
By far.
And Jabril Peppers, if he is showcased and he does well, his candidacy is going to skyrocket. Deonta Foreman of Texas, the running back, 250 yards and two touchdowns against Kansas, is number three on my list. By the way, he leads the nation in rushing, 1,863 yards with 15 touchdowns. Texas losing that game, not his fault.
Oh, no, not at all.
So he's my number three.
All right, so at number three, I think I know who one of your top two is. One of your top two is Baker Mayfield, I think.
Oh, yes.
So my number three is not Baker Mayfield, but it is Dede Westbrook.
Funny that you mentioned that. I had Dede Westbrook and Baker Mayfield in a slash, but I made a commitment
nice.
To one.
I like Dede. I like what his numbers are, and I think wide receivers don't get enough love. He's putting up killer stats this year with Baker. I think he's a great football player. I mean, this week he had, what, two catches for 100 yards? And that's all he had. I mean, but still, two catches, 100 yards. I mean, that's great. So I got him at number three.
All right. So number two for me is Baker Mayfield. And I did have slash Dede Westbrook because I was trying to go back and forth with the two. But I made a commitment to one because I didn't want to wimp out on that prediction. I didn't want to say one or the other. It was snowing in Morgantown. Mayfield ran the offense to perfection. He didn't have to do much because Dede Westbrook did a lot. Two touchdowns, ran for two more. He has 35 TDs this year with eight interceptions. Westbrook's gotten a lot of love from the Big 12 media. So, yeah, he should be getting some Heisman votes as well. So I did go Baker Mayfield in that two slot, but I will tell you, Westbrook is a legit choice.
Number two, I have your number three. I have Deonta Foreman there. I mean, he's a special running back, Tony. He's fun to watch.
He's really good.
He's a real good football player, so I've got him at number two right now.
Yeah, I wanted to move him up higher, but I left him behind Baker Mayfield. Again, if you lead the league, if you lead the nation in rushing and you're producing the kind of numbers he's producing, and I'm going to misstate this, but I think he had at one point in the season, this was like his fourth straight 200-yard game or something like that. It's really a remarkable stretch that he has had for Texas in the last four or five games. It's historic. So, yeah, he's just been fantastic. And number one, Lamar Jackson. Not good against Houston, but I saw this case online, and I thought it was kind of neat. People got to watch that game because it's a Thursday night and saw Louisville. Also got to see Lamar Jackson, who didn't have eye-popping numbers at all in the loss, also got to see what a bad offensive line he had in allowing 11 sacks, and he was still able to do some things. But Lamar Jackson's candidacy, I don't think, took a hit against the Cougars in that loss. He still has 19 rushing touchdowns and 28 through the air. I think he has built up some currency. But, yeah, when your offensive line is as putrid as that was on that Thursday, you also had to see him do some improvise, and he did some okay things.
Yeah, I've got Lamar at one still. I mean, I know, like I saw on ESPN this weekend, that the people they polled had 100% of the first-place votes going to Lamar Jackson. My thing is at this point now, I think it's changed. I think at least other people should be getting votes now with the way he played against Wake Forest for like basically three and a half quarters, and then the way the Houston game played out. So I do think it's open now, because I think the voters overvalue the last couple games of the season.
They do.
They either grant you too much or they take away too much. So I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen with Lamar. I don't think it's going to be a clean sweep anymore like it seemed like it was going to be the entire season. I think it's still, like I said, I think Jabril is the best chance to upset him, because Deonta Foreman, his problem, obviously, Tony, is their record.
Their record's not good, and they're mired in something else other than his excellence.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure if it really is going to be someone else than Lamar, but I just don't expect it to be a clean sweep anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is a unanimous. I think there's going to be some real shakeup on Saturday. I agree with the Peppers thing. I think you're talking about a kid. If he is playing all those positions and they win that game, and he's got a pick and he's got a defensive stop and he rushes for a touchdown or however Jim Harbaugh wants to use him, if we see that, if the nation really sees that on the biggest college football game on Saturday, right through the roof.
Yeah, like if he does like a punt return touchdown,
oh, yeah,
a pick, and then a rushing touchdown, I think it's his.
Can he do a Heisman pose? Is it too early? If he
No, he definitely should.
Should, right?
Just like Charles Woodson did.
Just like Charles Woodson. If he goes, Harbaugh would probably flip his lid. But nevertheless.
But he might love it at the same time.
He might love it at the same time, right? Because we don't really know. It's interesting. Coming up next, Thanksgiving Day and the NFL's provide us a great number of memories. We'll talk about some of those and get into college football rivalry weekend. We talked about Michigan and Ohio State, some other good ones going on Saturday. Well, just this whole weekend. I am Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony Desiri.
All right, thanks for joining us here on SB Nation, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Hope you enjoyed the next couple of days. Follow me on Twitter at Tony D Radio. So I have always loved the memories of Thanksgiving Day from the NFL. And I've had a number of really, really favorite ones. Dallas and Detroit obviously have been filled, you know, they're consistently our Thanksgiving Day. And then a number of years ago, they went with a Thursday night Thanksgiving Day game to sort of give us a triple header. But some of the great memories that I remember from Thanksgiving involve some really funny ones and some ones that made me scratch my head. For example, when Leon Lett in the snow back in the early 90s, when Leon Lett slid in on the Miami Dolphins, and they were playing the Miami Dolphins, and Leon Lett slid in to recover a football, and it slipped out, and the Dolphins got to re-kick a field goal, and they won the game. Well, the Cowboys went on to win the Super Bowl that year. I've seen Randy Moss do some really incredible things on Thanksgiving. At one point, Pat Summerall yelled, "He's incredible." I remember Phil Luckett, the referee for the Pittsburgh-Detroit game years ago, missing on a coin flip. Jerome Bettis said heads, and he said, tails is the call. They were like, wait a minute, we said heads. So overall, there's a lot of good memories that I've had, you know, on Thanksgiving, and I think a lot of it is because the games may not have been good, but they're very memorable because of the environment that we're in, right? We're all gathered around. We're having some turkey with family. We can watch ultimate, your real meltdowns. Was it last year Tony Romo came back in Thanksgiving game against the Eagles, and they got hurt again? So there's a lot of times in these games where they may not have been the most important games on the schedule, but yet they carry a lot of weight because we remember where we were or remember all kind of enjoying that moment. If it's funny or it's memorable, it's going to be more memorable on Thanksgiving. These games coming up, as I mentioned earlier, you got Minnesota and Detroit fighting for a division lead and Washington and Dallas, and we kind of went over that. It doesn't look like Andrew Luck's going to play. So we're kind of like, it's kind of like 2.5 games, yeah. Because if Andrew Luck played, I would have given it some more push with that Steelers-Indianapolis game. Nevertheless, the Steelers might find a way to lose. Lord knows they tend to do that. But it still should be really a really fun Thanksgiving NFL games. And I think when we come back on Monday and we kind of reevaluate the weekend, these are the games that are going to have real. We're still going to have some significant punch and impact. But it's also college football rivalry weekend, and we talked about the big game between Michigan and Ohio State. I was asking the question earlier, if the committee loves Ohio State today, and they do, they're number two, would they love them down the road? Let's say they win that game against Michigan but don't play for the Big Ten title, do they love them down the road? If this was the old system, Harris poll voting, AP voting, coaches voting, BCS formula, whatever, then you could make the case that, yeah, they like Ohio State a lot. Given what they know of the Buckeyes' circumstances, they like Ohio State a lot. I think you'd be hard-pressed in that committee. People who are voting Ohio State number two, they're either doing it for two things. Either one, they really like the Buckeyes no matter what their path is. They know their path. That's not going to come as a surprise when the Big Ten title game rolls around and the Buckeyes aren't in it. If the circumstances to play out that way. This committee knows that. This committee knows what's at stake for Ohio State. They know how they get there, how they don't get there. They don't control their own destiny. So with that in mind, they made this vote anyway. But number two, and I think if I'm leaning towards a direction of the committee, I think I was probably leaning towards this. It's the committee has always said, it's a snapshot. It's a current snapshot. It doesn't mean what you used to think it means. And what that used to mean was in the BCS formula, if you kept winning, you didn't really go anywhere. If you were number two today and you kept winning and winning convincingly, you didn't go anywhere. It'd be hard to vault you. right? I remember when we went back and we were talking about how LSU and Alabama replayed their game for the national title. It was because that was a 9-6 game win by LSU during the regular season that didn't cost Alabama much. So when the polls came out that following week, they had not fallen that far. And the way the old formula used to be is if you were at a position, it was almost like a holding pattern, you rarely dropped down if you continued to impress. So if the voters used and the computer liked you at 4, it wasn't going to wake up one day and like you at 8. That wasn't going to happen. If you were at 4 and continued to play well, you'd stay at 4. The committee said, oh, throw that away. We don't do that. So I'm trying to look at this, and again, I saw this on Tuesday night, and we got the pundits, and it's become a TV show, and we all kind of know that. But the pundits are wondering, okay, what does this really mean? And you know what this really means? That today, the day before Thanksgiving, November 23rd, Ohio State is the number 2 team in the country with nothing else to read into. That's what it is. But you beat the number 3 team on Saturday. You beat the number 3 team on Saturday, and let's say they do it convincingly. Well, one, that should lock them in number 2 after this weekend. And then you're going to be trying to convince the country that championship games that are going to go on December 3rd that don't include Ohio State, if indeed that's the way it rolls out, all of a sudden, they just get kicked back? The committee is going to have to say, yeah. Just like Baylor and TCU in year 1. We were all so accustomed to, no, you can't lose spots. And then the committee said, oh, yeah, you can. Don't worry, you can. We're making this point. Oh, and then afterwards, remember, they kept saying, oh, this does not indict the Big 12 at all. We're not trying to tell the Big 12 to have a conference championship game. This is just the way it played out. No, you did. You did. You told them to have a Big 12 championship game, and they went and got one. Because that's what their formula told them. Oklahoma is right there breathing down their necks of people. Oklahoma State right there breathing down the necks of people. If that Big 12 regular season title, whoever gets that is going to make a strong case. I think Oklahoma, we were talking about that Heisman 5 with Baker Mayfield, DeeDee Westbrook, the offensive weapons that they've had, the way they've won games. If Oklahoma is not knocking, I don't know how the committee could ignore. This is going to be really interesting, but the key is this, is how much do they love Ohio State? Coming up, Glenn Davis from Soccer Matters. We'll talk to him about the Jurgen Klinsmann firing. We'll also give you our NFL value games of the weekend, and then Jordan Bianchi on NASCAR, Hour 2 coming up.